Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real. This week's podcast is going to be the shortened hurricane version, while I still have power podcast. So let's get right into it. The Bank of Japan's massive manipulation of money supply and interest rates has now forced it to spill over into manipulating its currency. For many, many decades now, they've been manipulating their bond yields because they have so much debt outstanding that Japan has to make sure its yields never rise. Well, that eventually is now spilling over into the fact that they have to now prevent their currency from crashing, because they've been printing so damn much of it just to try to keep bonds from rising. Haruhiko Kuroda, head of Japan's central bank, has been capping Japanese government bonds, JGBs, at 0.25%, going out 10 years in duration. That is accomplished by printing an unlimited amount of Japanese yen. This policy of keeping yields at near 0% in a nation that has a quadrillion yen in debt has, as predicted and inevitably, crashed their currency, especially against the U.S. dollar. One U.S. dollar now buys you 145 Japanese toilet paper yen. Their currency has crashed 25% against the greenback this year alone. Japan has a dilemma. It could allow interest rates to rise and watch the nation's fragile economy and economic growth tumble into a depression, or keep on printing its currency to buy JGBs and watch the yen burn into oblivion as it causes a massive increase in import price inflation and consumer price inflation. But because of this, the Bank of Japan has come up with a temporary workaround to this disaster. It announced last week it would start selling its humongous $1.1 trillion in currency reserves to support the yen. Doing so would offset the printing of yen it must do in order to accomplish its support of JGBs, or so their thinking goes. The function of this goes like this. Sell U.S. treasuries, because that's where their currency reserves are held. Sell U.S. treasuries and raise U.S. dollars, then sell those dollars on the foreign exchange to buy back yen, and then it brings those yen back to the BOJ where it is burned. The problem for the megalomaniacs that run the government is that there is no sure way to destroy your currency than to burn it by burning through your currency reserves and still be left with a huge interest rate differential between Japanese rates, which will still be zero, and the U.S.'s interest rates, which are 4% plus, and having to still continuously print an unlimited amount of yen to keep borrowing costs for their government near zero. That $1.1 trillion in reserves is much less than advertised in my work shows it. It's much less than advertised because the value of those treasuries has plunged. Hence, the Bank of Japan probably doesn't want to dump those assets and recognize the losses. And even if they do, that duration of currency manipulation game is very limited. Japan's efforts to support the yen in early 1998 failed to prevent a further 14% drop until the collapse of long-term capital management in August of that year caused the Fed to slash interest rates to help out those interest rate differentials and support the yen. Market intrusions of this magnitude never last long and never end well. Now, to compound the move higher in bonds, by the way, what I just talked about, when I say that they are unwinding or at least threatening to unwind their currency reserves, is forcing treasury yields higher. And to compound that move higher is the shenanigans over in the United Kingdom. The new Prime Minister Liz Truss has proposed the equivalent of a $1 trillion stimulus package to boost the economy. However, the problem is the Bank of England isn't going along with the deal. That means the tsunami of new debt will have to be absorbed to the private, inside the private market. Because the Bank of England isn't going to buy all this debt to support the stimulus package. That means a tsunami of new debt will have to be absorbed again by individuals, corporations, pension funds, shadow banking system, and not the Bank of England. The pound is down over 21% against the US dollar this year. But that is the good news. The two-year gilt yield, their equivalent of treasuries, they have gilts, we have treasuries, the two-year gilt yield surged by 61 basis points last Monday alone, from 3.91% to 4.52%. In fact, this yield has skyrocketed from 1.75% in early August, and that is an increase of 158% in 2 months. The move was so disruptive and dangerous that the Bank of England this morning pledged to print an unlimited number of pounds to purchase long-duration gilts until the market stabilizes. And then they, of course, can go back to normal, which is, you know, asinine beyond belief. They're going to be caught. I mean, this complicates the scenario, because when the Bank of England does its imitation of the Bank of Japan in capping yields, it sends yields lower in not only in England, but across the world. That includes the United States as well. You see how complicated this picture is becoming for treasuries. But here's what it comes down to. Nevertheless, despite all I just said, the bond market collapse is global. I wrote about this event a decade ago. I warned in my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse, that yields would eventually surge as intractable inflation would force central banks to jam interest rates higher. I mean, eventually, intractable inflation was going to force central banks to raise interest rates to combat inflation. Otherwise, yields would just keep ripping higher. Now, Pentel Portfolio Strategies waited for yields to pop before taking a long position in bonds. I thought the bond bubble had popped. And the inverted yield curve gave me a green light to execute on this trade, because when the yield curve inverts, growth crashes, and that's usually always good for long duration bonds. But we were early, and guess what? That makes us wrong. You can't say you were early. You were wrong. Admit it. However, we were wrong for the time being. We're wrong. But the Fed's work with hiking rates is mostly behind us now. The next phase of this collapse should be slowing inflation and plunging economic growth worldwide. Nevertheless, with the Fed out of quantitative easing and fully engaged in quantitative tightening now, we will need the private sector, much like the Bank of England did before they came in with their, you know, grenades flying to buy the gilts. We're going to need the private sector to step in to fill the void that is left by the Fed departing with its QE program. I still believe this will occur soon. However, if that doesn't happen in the very near future, we will sell our long duration bond position and wait until the evidence of disinflation and recession becomes abundantly manifest, and that will drive institutions and pension funds into long duration assets. And we will also wait for the trend in yields to start to fall. And that is my summation on the TLT. And everything else, the other four horsemen of the economic apocalypse are working fine, which is, as you know and are aware, short duration bonds are spinning off a lot of cash, very short, ultra short duration. So think S-Gov. The dollar is undeniably successful. Cash is undeniably successful. Shorts have been undeniably successful. And the only problem why we're not up significantly, and we would be up significantly this particular downturn, this particular bear market, if the bond portion was working. And if it doesn't work soon, I'll get rid of it and I will wait for it to start working before we jump back in.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of the Reality Check, 5 Minutes of Sanity in an Insane World. Please remember, if you are not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.